We present Rodney Bewes and James Burlam as Bob Ferris and Terry Collier in part 10 of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads?
Not before time.
Hello, sunshine. Feeling better?
Not before time, is it? Not a word, not a letter.
A letter?
Or a card or a phone call.
But you're not on the telephone.
Well, she is next door. Any form of human communication would have sufficed. A message in a bottle. Or a carrier pigeon. Or a series of smoke signals from your roof. Just so as I knew I had some human contact.
Mate, I've been up to me ears, what with work and getting the house together and the wedding.
And those are all the things you put before my health, are they?
I just couldn't afford the risk of infection, man. Everyone's going down with this Chilean flu. I can't spare the time to be sick.
I haven't got the plague, you know. We haven't had to paint our front door yellow. You're not going to go down in writhing contortions with your hair falling out.
Oh, in other words, you've had a fairly trivial illness. You haven't been at death's door at all.
I didn't mean that I hadn't suffered. I've coughed so much, I think I've ruptured me lungs.
Chilean flu, it's fascinating, isn't it? That a virus can travel so far. Like Asian flu a few years back.
When I had a temperature of 103 on the verge of delirium, that was the one thing that consoled me. Knowing that I had such a fascinating virus.
I suppose it comes in off the ships.
I might have known I'd get it.
According to last night's Look North, a programme of local news and views, it's reaching epidemic proportions.
What a month. Out of the forces, with nothing to come home to, no bright job prospects, no mates around, and you getting married. And some bug transports itself from the Andes across two continents, two oceans, and zeroes in on me.
Well, you're not the only one by far.
I've been cursed by the Incas. It's typical of my rotten luck.
Half the site's down with it.
I bet I was the first, the trailblazer.
No wonder you're on the verge of delirium. What's this? Reader's Advice Forum? A frank exchange of personal and private fears? What are your personal and private fears, Terry? Apart from baldness and relegation.
Loss of friends, desertion in time of need.
My God, that pales compared to this poor fella, dear me. Have you seen this letter?
Anguished Margaret Agra.
Yeah. Where do you buy manacles and stocks these days?
Mail order, I suppose.
Oh, aye, comes in a plain wrapper.
You know, those letters stagger me, they really do. I know I've been away for 7 years, but, I mean, I never knew bondage was that popular.
It's not round here. Well, certainly not on the Elm Lodge housing estate.
No, you'd be too sure. Have you seen all the addresses on these letters? They're not from Copenhagen or Hamburg. It's places like Market Harborough, Evesham, Peterborough. Hell's Teeth is even a Harrogate. I mean, what's happening to this country? If this magazine's a fair sample, come Saturday night, half the nation's behind locked doors in frilly underclothes, beating themselves silly with riding crops.
Well, not everyone watches Match of the Day.
Healthy people do.
I was thinking of missing it myself this Saturday. If someone is well enough, I was planning a little treat for that someone.
I'm not being whipped.
That wasn't what I had in mind. If you'd been well enough, I was going to take you out for a meal. Posh new place up the coast road. Dinner, bottle of wine, great steaks there.
Why?
Well, probably the last chance I'll get before I get married. You know, just for the two of us to have a chat. A few drinks, reflective. Civilised evening.
Oh, I see. It's guilt, is it? Guilt at having left me here to rot.
All right, if you don't want to have a meal with me, if you don't want to make this last gesture to our friendship...
Oh, well, if you're going to put it that way...
Put it what way?
You know, when you put that voice of yours on.
What voice?
Your Dame Anna Neagle making a charity appeal voice.
If you mean that my voice conveys a certain amount of emotion, then I won't deny it. This week's an end of an era for me, and the meal was supposed to... Well, supposed to commemorate it.
You make it sound like a memorial service, not a nosh-up.
Well, it is in memoriam, in a way.
Well, where's Thelma? Is she ill as well?
Thelma doesn't rule my leisure habits. I don't have to ask permission. She doesn't give me pass-outs. Anyway, Thelma's booked.
What for? Soliciting?
For a girl's night out, hen party. Her sister arrives today from Canada for the wedding.
Hey, I'd forgotten Thelma had a sister. Did we ever know her?
No, she was about 5 years younger than us. And at school, that was a generation. And she got a job abroad, I think, soon as she got her O-levels.
What's she like?
I can't really remember. It's only in my later, more mature years that I've started noticing schoolgirls.
Hey, I might be all right there, at the wedding. She'll be the bridesmaid and me being the best man. Isn't that one of the best man's perks? Isn't that the unwritten law? The best man pays for the taxis, reads out the telegrams and has the bridesmaid.
Look, Terry.
Never know.
The thing is...
Might as well chance me arm.
Don't jump to conclusions.
I'm not. I'm only chancing me arm. I'll hold back the rest of me anatomy till I see the lay of the land.
Terry, please, I'm trying to say something important. You mustn't take things for granted about the wedding.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see, Bob. Yeah, that's why you wanted us to have a meal, just the two of us, like... A reflective evening, wasn't it?
Right.
I understand, kidder.
Do you?
Certainly. Say no more. You've had second thoughts. Well, I knew you'd come to your senses sooner or later.
Of course I haven't had second thoughts. You never give up, do you? What I was referring to was bridesmaids and best man.
Oh, I see, Dame Anna. Moral outrage, is it?
I don't mean
just because she's Thelma's sister...
Look, I don't care if you seduce Thelma's sister... As long as you enjoy yourself at my wedding, I'm happy. I wasn't referring to your sexual menace. It was your status.
Status?
Well, lack of it.
What status am I lacking in?
Best man status.
What?
The best man at my wedding, at my best man, if you like...
Yes?
...is not you. I mean, it's you in principle. You being my best friend in that. Everyone will know it's you in principle... It just won't be you in fact.
I'm not your best man.
I didn't know you were going to turn up out of the blue like that. I didn't know you were suddenly going to reappear after years. And I'd already asked Frank Clark.
You don't have to explain. I know, you think I'll let you down. My earthy working class ways might prove a little too rough at the edges for your new middle class in-laws with their caravans in the Lake District and their Masonic handshakes. How could somebody like me officiate at your wedding? Somebody who might turn up in overalls and clogs. Toast the health of the bridesmaids in meths.
Oh, come on, mate. If I hadn't asked Frank Clark, you'd have been the first choice.
Oh, I see. I wear the number 12 shirt, do I? I sit on the substitute's bench. I suppose if he makes a lousy speech, I'll be called in for the last 10 minutes.
No, be reasonable. Not keeping in touch. You'd just become a memory. Fond memory, of course, but just a memory. Just a photo on a mantelpiece. An IOU in a sock drawer. A scar on my shin from the time we fought over Brenda Davidson.
And that's all I am to you, is it? A scar on the shin?
7 years you've been gone. Do you realise how long that is? You could forget someone altogether in 7 years.
You didn't forget the IOU in your sock drawer. What was that for?
Coach trip, Morecambe Illuminations, 1967. Five-card brag. £11.08 and 6, £11.42 and a half in decimals. I'll let you off the half.
You'll get your money. I've been away, you know.
I know. That's why you're not the best man.
That's what this meal's about, is it? To make amends for the betrayal of friendship.
Offers open. Great food. Big helpings. All on me.
Oh, I don't see how I can, Bob. After that news... What with me virus and that blow, I can't think of eating. I don't think my appetite will ever be the same again. I'll have the prawn cocktail, fillet steak, well done, chips, onion rings, tomatoes, grilled mushrooms and sprouts. Oh, and can we have some more bread while you're here?
Certainly, sir.
How's the melon?
Oh, it's lovely, sir, absolutely.
Fine. And then the entrecote, please. Medium rare.
Mm-hmm. Vegetable, sir?
No, just green salad, no dressing and no potatoes. Would you open the wine now so it could breathe? Thank
sir.
You.
Well, where's your appetite, then? Green salad, no chips.
I like to watch the carbohydrates.
Well, cheers, mate. Oh, this is very nice. Yes, very nice indeed.
Cheers. I'm glad you were able to make such a miracle recovery in the last 24 hours.
That's the thing about these foreign diseases.
No, but it's amazing. When I wanted you to help me lay a carpet in the new house this afternoon, you'd lost the use of both legs and your eyesight was failing.
Today's wonder drugs.
No hard feelings, then, about best man.
Well, it hurt, Bob. I can't pretend it didn't. I mean, who's been closer to you over all these years? Not even your mother, never mind Frank Clark. When you first went out into the world, your first day at Mixed Infants, it was as long ago as that when we met.
I know, I remember. Even though we're only five, the teacher said to me, there's your seat, there's your crayons. If you want to be excused, put your hand up. Playtime's 10 o'clock. And don't talk to Terry Collier.
Miss Einmarsh always had it in for me.
No, it's amazing how character shows at such an early age. Even at five, you were trouble, a hazard to other children. Don't talk to Terry Collier. That was like our school motto.
I was your first friend. I was the first person who stole your tricycle pump. The first person who split your head open with a brick. I mean, Frank can't claim things like that in his winning speech, now can he? He can't recall colourful anecdotes from the past.
I don't think many of the colourful anecdotes from our past are fit to go into a wedding speech.
Frank Clark never sacrificed 7 years of his life for you.
You told us that apart from getting married, the most memorable thing that happened to you in the army was getting tattooed on your left buttock. So what happened? Did the needle slip?
That wedding never did bring that bread. I'll get it myself.
Excuse me, sir. Your friend is all right.
Yeah, he was cursed by the Incas. Oh. During the full moon, he loses the use of his left leg.
So I said to him, it'll be interesting to see what happens then.
No.
Did you really? I bet that fixed them, chief.
Hey. Did you see them too?
I saw you pass them. I saw you give them what you think is your winning look.
I've won a few with it.
You've lost a hell of a sight more.
Hey, they're tasty, though, aren't they?
Well, they certainly cured your limp. Or was it a case of take up thy bread and walk?
What I want to know is, what are they doing here on their own? I mean, in a place like this?
They're just two nice girls having dinner together. It just happened, you know. Even before Woman's Lib, it was possible to see unescorted females in public places.
Not on a Saturday night, spare. They're up to no good.
God, you've got such bigoted sexual attitudes, you. Women without handbags are depraved. Divorcees are desperate for it. Negroes are more virile. A few years ago, any fella that played tennis was a puff in your book.
Well, a few years ago, we wouldn't have been letting the minutes tick by like this. Shall we ask them over?
Certainly not.
Or just ask them to join us. They can pay for themselves.
No, I'm not out on the pull, no. Those days are over. That's supposed to be what this meal's about. The end of an era, isn't it?
I suppose so. When you think of a few years back, those two wouldn't have had a chance, would they?
A few years back? No.
I mean, we weren't half bad, were we? Admit it, we didn't half put it about.
Oh, aye. I won't argue about that point. We were deadly.
No woman was safe.
We were a team.
Right. The terrible two.
The dynamic duo.
Twin strikers.
Chivers and Hurst.
Lee and Bell.
What was our best season?
Oh, 1966, definitely. A vintage year.
It was a very good year for blue-eyed girls.
Blue-eyed, green-eyed, cross-eyed, we took all the...
A string of victories.
We were the champions. Champions of the Roxy Ballroom and the Marimba Coffee Bar.
1966, yeah. Did you really have, a string of victories?
What?
Well, you know, I mean, we took a hell of a lot of girls out that year. I mean, but did you ever have any complete, total... knockout, all the way victories?
Well, if you put it that way,
I am putting it that way. I mean, be honest.
Complete victories. All the way, like.
All the way. Honestly.
No.
I thought as much.
What about you?
Oh, it's got to extra time once with Dorothy Armisen, but...
You'd never crack that defence.
I was just thinking.
What?
A whole season. We must have been the only twin strikers that never scored.
And one and two brands.
The end of an era.
Aye, well.
Today... is the first day of the rest of my life.
Oh, well.
One way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah, there were canny days, though, but...
best is yet to come.
Great times.
Oh, it's one way of looking at it, though, isn't it?
When you think what we were like. I mean, now we're mature and civilised, but then, gee, we were so randy, chasing everything that moved.
Mind, we were choosy. They had to be awake.
That was all that mattered. That and football.
Mind you, I think that under our... civilized exteriors, you know. I mean, I know that I'm now mature, sexually, as well as every other way, and experienced-like. But it's still all down to sex and football life, isn't it?
Same for everybody, I should think.
No, no, some people don't like sex.
Well, it takes all sorts.
Your twin obsessions. That's what Thelma says. Sex and football are my twin obsessions. She reckons that the height of ecstasy for me...
Yeah?
...would be to make love to her in E Block during the second leg of a European Cup tie.
By the time our team gets into Europe, making love in public will be legal.
Nigel Hutchinson. Nigel, you know Nigel? Lives up behind the ice ring. He had to see a psychiatrist about his obsession.
Never. Little Hutch?
Mm. The doctor said that what was wrong with him was that subconsciously he wanted to make love to every woman in the world. That was his problem.
Well, what's wrong with that?
No, no, with him it was an illness. He'll drive himself mad. Poor little Hutch. Knowing that he's not even going to get through North Shields, never mind the world.
Aye, well, there's always people worse off than yourself.
Ah, at least I don't have to go through all that with other women. At least I've got Thelma. And I'm content to be with just her.
You've been with Thelma for years. That's never stopped you shopping around. Especially at school.
I'm on the threshold of matrimony. It's a slightly stronger relationship than carrying a satchel home from Park Junior's.
Yes, well, those two over there might be your last chance to grab somebody else's satchel.
I don't want to. Look, I know that you're separated and your marriage didn't work out, but, well, there must have been a time when you were first married or when you were just engaged, when you were happy just to be with Uta, when your eyeballs didn't swivel out their sockets every time you saw another Fraulein.
There is no time in any man's life when he doesn't notice other women. Even my Uncle Norman, who's 82 and bedridden. He leapt on his Meals on Wheels lady the other day.
Never.
She refused to come back.
Well, all right, but there must have been a time when you and Uta, perhaps when you were first courting, well, when, well, love was a many splendid thing.
Well, I wouldn't know, Bob. You see, I met Uta when I was in the army. I was a war bride. I mean, groom. I wasn't in a town. I was in a barren, windswept German plain. The only excitement was a sing-song and a naffy and a cup of lukewarm cocoa. There wasn't any spare. So my fidelity was never put to the test. I don't know how I'd have gone on back here, running the sexual gauntlet of the permissive society.
I've managed.
Well, yes, but that's probably because you're saturated with sex. You're marrying Thelma because you're ready to limp into retirement.
Look, I'm aware of other women. I have to drive to work every day past the Ministry of Pensions. You're not telling me those thousands of teenage typists aren't a navigational hazard. But a mature person doesn't forget his responsibilities as a fiancé and a road user.
So how come last Tuesday you ran into the back of a laundry van?
The clutch slipped.
Yeah, well, watch your brandy doesn't slip while you're clocking them two.
I'm not clocking those two. I'm aware that they're there. Of course I am. Vaguely aware that one of them's pretty.
Which one?
Well, the dark hair and the black dress and that nice figure and that lovely eyes and that charming way of wrinkling up her nose when she laughs.
Oh, I see. Just a vague impression. Mm.
But compared to Thelma, how could I? And you'll find someone yourself soon and you'll understand about what it means to have found life's partner. Thelma and me, well, it's just great. And it's not Bob and Terry anymore. It's Bob and Thelma. And their friend, Terry. Thelma is my partner in life. I have new words in my vocabulary now. Words like marriage, trust, fidelity.
Boredom.
Other words I've forgotten. Words like tail, spare, score, crumpet. Old days and old ways are gone forever. I bet we could pull those two over there, though.
Those days are over, you've just said.
I just bet we could. What are they doing here, alone in a place like this, a few years back?
Bob, we are into another era. You've told me so at least 10 times tonight.
I bet we could score those two bits of spare.
Your vocabulary's coming back.
I fancy the dark one. Actually, I fancy both of them.
My God, you've got Hutchinson's disease.
I wonder, don't you? I mean, I just wonder. I mean, I wonder if the old technique's still there, the old magic. Waiter.
Just calling, sir.
You watch this. I know a trick it is.
Can I help you, sir?
Wait. I wonder if you'd be so kind as to give a message to those two young ladies. Say that I think we recognize them from a few years ago. And if they don't think we're being too forward, perhaps they'd care to join us for coffee and liqueurs.
Very good. Oh, thank you, sir.
Why, that was good. A few years ago, we'd have just stopped at their table on the way to the lava and said, do you fancy a jar?
And a few years ago, it was just a few jars and nothing.
They've got the message, they've got the message.
Down, boy, down. Hold it back.
I didn't lead you on, you know. This was your idea.
I can handle it. I can handle it. Always could.
Yeah, well, if they turn out to be touring American heiresses looking for bits of northern rough and whip us two off to the States and set us up in mansions in Palm Springs and Hawaii with yachts and a hovercraft, it's not my fault. They're coming over. They're only coming over.
This might be the night when the twin strikers find their feet.
And lose their heads.
I knew we could do it. The old magic's still there. Hello, how do you do?
Hello, hello.
I hope you don't think, well, you know, that we were, Well, it's just that, Do you know, I'm sure I knew you from somewhere. Please sit down. My name's Bob, and this is Terry.
I'm Norma.
And I'm Susan.
Never been to Hawaii, have you? Or Palm Springs?
No.
We're just trying to work out where we might have met.
Park Secondary Modern.
Pardon?
Park Secondary Modern. That's where we know you from. But you wouldn't know us. You were seniors, and we were in the juniors.
You really remember us from then?
Bob Ferris and Terry Collier. Of course we do.
You're the one the teachers warned us about. Don't talk. Don't talk to that Terry Collier.
Oh, not that you'd have talked to us.
Oh, really?
We couldn't have had a look in. Not with you two.
Oh, really?
You were just objects of desire.
Figures to idolise.
Young girls' fantasies.
Glimpsed through the railings.
So near, yet so far.
Isn't it lucky we met?
Well, I hope you don't think we'll let you pick us up. But we had to take the chance of meeting you in the flesh.
You were legends in your own lifetime at Park Juniors.
Well, Robert, I hope we're not going to disappoint these two young ladies. It's not easy being a living legend.
I think you've lost weight since those days.
He watches his carbohydrates.
Oh, but you're just the same. You always were a bit...
Wiry. Would the girls like a drink?
It's closed. It's too late for a drink. The bar's closed. What a shame.
No, it isn't.
It is. If we want a drink, we'll have to go on somewhere.
Oh, I see. Yes. Oh, dear. The bar's closed. What a pity. We'll have to go on somewhere.
Where are we thinking of going?
Yes.
That's a good question.
Well, what about going back to my house? You see, I have this house, you see, where we could go back to. We could go back to, my house. Which would be a good place to go back to.
Your house would be a good place to go back to, Bob.
Yes, wouldn't it? Play some records, a few drinks.
What a good idea. Go back to your house, play some drinks, have a few records.
I think that might not be a very good idea.
Why?
Oh, it might be indiscreet. Something you'll regret in the morning.
I won't. I promise you I won't.
I won't either.
I think it's a bad idea.
But why, Susan? Please, why?
Because you're marrying my sister next week.
I don't feel very well.
Terry's come to see you, Bob.
Not before time.
Here's your tea, pet. Now be sure and take that pill. Would you like a cup, Terry?
Ah, if there's one made.
Well, it's no trouble.
How have you been, Petal?
I've been at death's door.
No, you haven't. Your mum said your temperature's never been above 101. That bug's losing its power, you know. Poor little bug. Couldn't take the northeast climate. It's on its way back to the foothills of the Andes. Knackered. Fascinating, isn't it? How a virus can travel so far.
It's fascinating how long it's taken you to drive 400 yards. 3 days I've lain here.
Anyway, I've brought you some grapes. Hasn't Thelma been round?
No, she's had a touch of it herself. That's why she wasn't out with the girls the other night.
Oh, I see. You sure it's not because of the other night she's not been round?
She doesn't know about it. Susan didn't let on.
Oh, didn't she?
No. Don't sound so sorry. Something I wanted to ask you.
Oh, aye.
If you'd come round earlier, I wanted to ask you something important.
Ask away, little pale face.
I've had second thoughts.
Ah-ha!
Not about the wedding.
Oh, about the bridesmaid. Well, I can't blame you. I've had a few myself. She's a bonny girl, that Susan.
Yeah, you'll be all right there at the wedding.
No, I won't. She'll be thigh to thigh with the best man on the head table when I'm stuck away in the corner, wedged between my mother and one of your cousins.
No, she won't. If Susan's thigh is adjacent to anyone's, it'll be yours. I'm trying to tell you that I want you to be the best man. That's what I've had second thoughts about. And what you said the other night was perfectly true. I mean, we've been through everything together, haven't we? Chilly and flu. How can I get married and not have you as best man? My best friend in all the world.
What about Frank?
I'll clear it with Frank. That's not important. The thing is, will you do it?
Oh, I don't know what to say.
It means a lot to me, Terry.
Well, of course I will, mate. It's my privilege.
Well, I'm back, love. Here's your tea, Terry.
Thank you, Mrs. Ferris.
Should you be here, Terry, you might catch something.
I'd risk that. For a friend.
Because everybody's going down with it. And isn't it awful about poor Frank Clark? Complications have set in. He's going to have to miss the wedding and everything.
You've just been listening to Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads. James Burnham and Rodney Bewes appeared as Terry and Bob, with Anita Carey as Susan Chambers, Barbara Ogilvie as Mrs. Ferris, Brenda Cavendish as Norma, and Anthony Smee played the part of the waiter. The series created and written by Dick Clement and Ian Lafreney, programme adapted for radio and produced by John Browell. Listen again next week to Part 11, Countdown.